divine incarnate around the midnight. And as he was born, he has revealed himself to his parents and then said, I have done my job of keeping up the promise that has been born to you. I am now to start my work. So straight away I am starting my work. You please take me to Gokul and you leave me in such and such place and bring the child that is there to this prison. And that child will tell my uncle as to about the divine secret. So such an auspicious thing, a divine incarnate who has announced himself as such at the time of very birth. It's a happy occasion for us. And we should all be enjoying, feasting. But our tradition has asked us to fast. The reason for that is, when you think about Krishna, you get into ecstasy yourself. You forget your sleep, you forget your food, you forget all other engagements and will be only in his thought. That is the greatness of this personality, which we are trying to retain even today. Please think about it. Yes, so long as we are going to think about our body and its needs, we will definitely feel hungry, we will definitely feel thirsty. We would also like to sleep now and then during the day. All these things are possible. But if you get into the consciousness of Sri Krishna, the chances are that you will be only thinking about him and nothing else. We have had occasions of this type of experience when we celebrate Babuji's birthday as well as Lalaji's birthday. I do not want to cast aspersions on any person. But even those days, people are eager while meditating as to when it will be over so that we can go and have our breakfast. And when a talk is going on, they will be thinking about a lunch. These are the people who do not have the dhrita sankalpa, the firm conviction and a desire. Now, thou art the real goal of human life. I do not know whether it has enabled you to think about this real goal at all. Topic now that I am asked to dwell is on the methods of Sri Ramchandra ji. With your permission, I will be linking it up with Sri Krishna's teachings and Aurobindo's teachings and come to Sri Krishna Ramchandra ji Maharaj's teachings. Thou art the real goal of human. Om Namo Narayanaya. That is the mantra. The goal of man, Naranam Ayanam Narayanam, that is the goal of man. Real goal. But we have got very many petty goals when we think about that Narayana, Sri Krishna, Ramchandra. Goals, very many goals. The goals relating to the five goshas, the Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, and Anandamaya goshas. All these goshas dictate to us several petty goals. We are lost in it. And we somehow or other go on praying for sanction of those goals, which I used to earlier call petitions. We call them goals, petitions, requests, whatever you want. That's what it is. We do not seek the divine. And for seeking the divine, we try to somehow or other say that this mantra can lead, that mantra can lead, etc., etc. There's nothing wrong, so long as you know the real meaning of the mantra. And you'll definitely come to the Narayana mantra. You'll invariably come to that. You'll have to. Every great Acharya and Paramacharyas have used, whenever they signed it only as Narayana Smriti. The name of Narayana I give this. No other name has been used. The reason for that is, they were very clear about their goal. Whether they achieved it or not is a separate issue, on which there can be difference of opinion, we can go on arguing. Of no concern, it's a waste of mind. Itching of the brain. There's an itching of the brain also. And that is what makes you go on thinking about certain things, or ruminating about it. It's an itch. When it itches your back or somewhere else, you try to put your fingers on that and then go on scratching. Similarly, when the brain itches, it's interesting problems as it conceives. Go on itching, scratching it. Nothing comes out of it. This would be my way of answering people who have got doubts. Doubt is an itch. From the point of view of sadhana, when we look at this point of real goal of human life, we are not very sure. If I ask all of you, including me, whether we have got a clarity about this goal, I may say yes after a long time of practice. And this is what exactly Sri Krishna said. It's very difficult to know. And you can do it only with Abhyas and Vairagya. Very early in the Bhagavad Gita, he says this. I don't think I can make this talk much more interesting by saying certain Sanskrit shlokas. I shall avoid it as far as possible. So, Abhyasa and Vairagya, these are the two things that we have got to think about as methods for achieving the real goal. I'll come to that topic later. So, this real goal clarity emerges after a considerable time of practice. The clarity of this. Though we start with that sentence here, and every one of us assume that we have made up our decision about this goal. Assume. We have grant ourselves the right that we have got already that as our clarity. It is not so. That is why you will find in the second sentence of Babaji, I stroke we are yet slaves of wishes, putting a bar to our advancement. Because as you practice, you know that you don't have that real goal in your sight or in your mind. And you know that you are yielding to many other things. You definitely know that is not your goal. And that is only a person who develops a viveka by constantly looking into himself. He comes to that conclusion. It's a painful conclusion to know that how little we were before the divine. Asking for something very superior. All the time, we were small before him, presenting ourselves in the poorest of fashions. Our thoughts which are submitted to him during meditation have been of the lowest of the orders. We go on trying to improve that. When your goal clarity emerges. Again and again we have got to think about the real goal. And why is he the real goal? What on earth makes God to be the divine? The divine, to be the real goal. What exactly it is? You know the answer for it, but there is no need for you to practice meditation. There is no need for you to do any sadhana. Why is the divine the goal? But you are asked to assume it is the beginning. You are told that the real goal is God or the Divine. And to substantiate that He is the real goal, your literature helps you. It makes you understand that all other goals are not the ultimate. Take for example the case of Vishwamitra, who was an emperor. Of the few emperors, he was one. And when he sees a Brahmajnani like Vasishtha, then he finds that there is something more than what he has got. He thought he could give everything to everyone. And he offered that to Vasishtha also, saying that whatever you want, you please ask me. After all, you have to run a small ashram. Why do you require this Kamadhenu? This is better. It serves the purposes of the emperor better than you. You want 1,000 cows, I shall give you. You want other assistance? Yes, I shall give you. You run the ashram. Your job is only to teach Brahmajnana. Why do you require this? And the Brahmajnani's answer was, take it if you can. I don't stop you. And that Kamadhenu refused to go. And it fought the war on behalf of the Rishi. That is a story. I am not interested in that. Those stories are well known to you. If you don't know, kindly read the tradition. Because you must know that ours is a great civilization. And we have got a very hoary past. They have got their own meaning. For the discerning, they understand the meaning. For the ordinary people, it's a folk story or a myth. But there is something of a myth in every one of our lives. Every one of us is an archetype, is an expression of the Divine, and we have a pattern. There are several people with the same mentality as you and I in the past, and there will be many more with the same type of approach to the subject in the future. And that is the archetype. And it goes on developing. Archetypes are not standard patterns. They are not molds. They are a way of thinking. There is a general confusion among many people when we discuss the archetypes. They think it is something like a picture, that is a fixed picture. It is the same person. Yes, it is the same person, it is the same wavelength. But it improves, it swells. The archetype swells itself. And it is an improvement over the earlier thing. And when we say that Babaji Maharaj is doing the work of Sri Krishna, we only mean that Krishna has been improved upon now. It is the same archetype. It is the same avatar. The same avatar which came as Rama is the avatar which came later this. I'll give a small example. Not necessarily something that you'll find in any book. But this is due to my understanding of the subject, which was given to me by my master. Many of you know the great avatar of Vaman, who comes and requests the great emperor Bali, give him only 3 feet of land. That's all. That's all what he asks. And he says, why don't you ask something more? I can give you many more than this. They said, no, please give me this. And with 1 foot, he covers the entire world, it is said. And with the 2nd foot, he has taken the heavens. And the 3rd foot, it is said that he put on Bali himself. Looking at it from the spiritual angle, I have found the methods that are given to us, namely that the morning prayer, the evening and the night prayer we have got to be just the 3 steps that the Divine asks from us. The Divinity is asking us, every one of us is a Bali Chakravarti here, asking us just the 3 paces of feet in our heart. 3 things, please yield. The remaining things I'll take over. First, you give your heart to me. Right? What happens? The lower vrittis become influenced by the higher vrittis. And we're coming to that a bit later again. Just kindly note this point, that the higher mind takes over the lower mind. The God takes over the lower mind first. We yield. And then The higher mind also is superseded by him. And then finally he asks, why shall I put the third faith? He said, put it in my head. That is total surrender to the divine happens. And this total surrender to the divine is what the last sentence of the prayer suggests. Thou art the only God and power to bring me up to that stage. That is the state of surrender that we require. Goal clarity, first sentence, is the first foot that you have got to give in your heart. Without any reservations. And he takes over you. And then the lower mind is controlled. And the higher mind, you again yield to him. This is how I have understood that avatar. Then it becomes a Trivikrama. In all the three planes of consciousness, he takes over me. In all the three planes, which are turbulent planes, the physical, the vital, and the mental planes. He takes over. He controls me. So the method is not anything new. The method is old. Now I will come to why I say it is old. In the Bhagavad Gita you will find that after many lives, a person who becomes wise yields to me and then says that Vasudeva is everything. Now, who is the Vasudeva today? We are Abhyasis of Sri Ramachandra Ji's system of yoga. Who is the Vasudeva today? In unequivocal terms, Babaji Maharaj has said, I am spread out the universe and I am everywhere. What is Vasudeva? A person who resides everywhere. Vasa is the root word for Vastu as well as Vasudeva. He resides in every atom, every molecule, every single particle of this universe. And he said, you have to understand me. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. To accept the Vasudeva as everything is very difficult. For whom? Even for a person who knows. And that is the position for most of us. We know that he is everywhere, but we don't yield to him, perhaps even one plane. That exactly is the message. So you understand what is Vasudeva. And today's Vasudeva, I know, is only Sri Ramachandra. That is why he said Krishna is much to me. The consciousness of Sri Krishna merges is in him mainly because of this. If you question the statement that he has spread out everywhere, then the whole system falls. Because such a man cannot guide. A guide can be one who guides me in all planes of consciousness. In all planes of consciousness, not to the satisfaction of my desires and wishes, but for the transformation in all the three planes of consciousness. That everything belongs to him. Isavasyam idam sarvam. That's how the Upanishad goes. Now this has to be done. This yielding has to happen. Of what? Yielding to say that I meditate. I meditate at the time that is prescribed, according to the method that is given, not according to the principles and alterations that I have got. That willingness must be there. Your difficulties, if any, are submitted to the divine, and he gives a solution to you in your heart. Now there are two things here. The upper is always, upper mind is always dominated by the lower mind in our case. You want to sit in meditation, but then something tells you that you can postpone it for another half hour. Maybe I can do it tomorrow. Today I seem to be tired. I come from the office very late. What am I to do? I can't do it. But if basic viveka is aroused, you really do not know whether you will be awake next morning at all. So nobody will postpone things.
Postponement is fundamentally the philosophy of persons who somehow grant for themselves eternity. They know that they will pass. Every person who knows a bit of life knows that there will be a day when he will go. And he also knows that day is not something that he knows in advance. It may happen any time. During prayers it can happen. I have umpteen number of instances to quote. A friend of mine, who of course is not a follower of this system, I met him at 5:30 in the evening. He said, okay, let us go home. And at 6:45, I received a message that he is no more. Then I asked, what has happened? He had a bath. He started his puja. He religiously does the injunctions. Sandhya, and afterwards his puja he started. And then while doing the puja, he passed away. So please note, it can happen earlier. It may not happen in the near future. I only wish that we live long. For the only reason that we should spread the message of the Master. I don't have any other purpose here to suggest for you, for your life. We have many other goals. I do know that you have got many goals. That takes us to three things. When you become a person who knows the thing, should you continue to do these things? An interesting question was posed to me about 15 years back, saying that, sir, you are a person who is right, knows what is the truth. You have been with the Master. And why do you do this meditation? Because his great doubt was, why do I do it? Then I said, yes. The answer is given right from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. A person who knows also shall do his duty. And what are the duties? It is stated in the same Upanishad, namely, yajna, dana, and tapaha are the duties that you shall perform every day. We have come to know that the procedures of these three things have not been all that easy for us. And over a period of time, it got worn out. Bhagavan Krishna comes and then says the same thing. You cannot get a remission from this performance of this duty. How to do it? That is in the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will find this. But even then, we did not change. We continue in our own way. Whatever may be the reason, I am not going into the traditional aspects of it or the modern man's views about it. But I have found an answer to this in the case of the system of Babuji Maharaj. In this system, all the threes are provided. All the three are provided for every abhyasi to perform without any scope for us to give an excuse. But we have been giving excuses. So those of you who give excuses, kindly try to mend. First thing that you have got to do is the tapas. That is, you have got to burn yourself out. Enormous wax has been collected by us. They can be removed easily. It sticks, of course. But when you think about the divine, it burns. Apavitraha, pavitrova. Sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabahyantara suji. Yes. Very sensible statement. But how many thought about what is that pundarikaksha? The lotus, it opens itself. When? When there is the sun's rays falling on it. Till that time it does not open. Pundarikaksha really means that the center of that pundi, lotus, which opens up, throwing away all the petals out when the early morning sunlight strikes it. And what happens then? Because of that heat, it becomes purified. Sabahyantara suchi.
external and internal purity is assured. If you think about the divine, that is the reason why we say that the master is the goal. You think about him, you do not know him. Yes, Smaret. Think about him. O master, thou art the real goal of human life. The meaning of that is so much that one has to again and again contemplate over it. But the majority of us who know ABCD, like my granddaughter, she thinks that she knows English. And I think most of us belong to the same category. The difference is we know how to make words. Nobody knows how to make meaning. You learn to make meaning out of these sentences and words only when you contemplate or meditate over that. A lot of time has to be spent. Then you understand what exactly you mean by that. Why do we remember the goal? The goal has to be remembered so that I get rid of the influence of my wishes. I am at but a slave of my wishes. I of course think about you, Pundarikaksha or Master or Ramachandraji or Babaji, you call anything that you want for the divine. I don't want to go into the names. Because divinity is something that has neither a name nor a form. I've been stressing this aspect in sadhana for all of you. It is our sentiment that we attach ourselves to this Ramachandraji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur. But do you know his consciousness? His consciousness is one with that of Krishna. He is that one with of the divine avatars. But he again immediately clarifies the point that I am not an avatar, I am only a person who has come here to mend a small thing, some corrections that I have asked to make. I am a person who is constructive, I am not a destructive person. And he makes a statement that avatars come for destruction and I have not come for destruction. As a matter of fact, I am one of the persons like you and many others who are coming to me. Born as a man, and I have been perfected by my master to such an extent that the great rishis of the past, including the great avatar, is using me. That is the statement, that is the courage with which he made the statement. When his goal is clear, when the goal is clear and he knows that he is abiding in that goal, he was able to make that statement. The same right he has granted you and me. Whether you will be chosen by the nature for that work or not, it is the nature's prerogative. When he said that you will become like me, he never thought that you will immediately construe that you will become another special personality. He only said you can become like me as a man and said the decision of the nature or God to use me is the decision of the nature or God. It has nothing to do with my sadhana. You see the humility of the person. Because of this distorted view or a perception of that prayer, we have others claiming their status. And Paundraka Vasudeva is nothing new. So they will be claiming. Delusions and delusions are always there. Such people are but slaves of their wishes. And for them our prayers will be there. Now that comes to the second question. Tapaha is done. What is the dana that we have got to do? Vidya dana is one thing that everybody knows is this. The best dana that we can ever think of. And all that Babaji is asking all of us is to spread his message. To spread the message of his system. That is the greatest of vidya dana that you can ever give. And here comes the doubt, because you are not very sure whether you got the vidya or not. If a person who teaches physics to the second form or third form, in my days we used to call so, now I think we call it seventh class or eighth class, whatever it is. He teaches physics, but he is not an expert in physics. A person who teaches intermediate physics, maybe he is an MSc, he is not a perfect. A person who teaches an MSc student, maybe somebody superior, but he is not a perfect in his science. Because there is an ever-expanding science. Our doubts, therefore, of our competence to teach the system or to tell about the system to others is unfounded. The doubts are basically lethargy.
And if you permit, and if I am permitted by my master, I will use the word ingratitude. You owe it to the society to inform what you know, what is good, what you practice. You owe it to the society. You are becoming a realized man is of no use to anybody. You get realized so that you try to make others realized. That is the dana that we have to do. And that is what Babaji says. Tapaha is over, dana is there. Then what is yajna? This is one thing that's a default, for no fault of God. We all are defaulters here, most of us. For whatever reason it is, yajna in the traditional sense is out of question. We know it's not possible for us to practice. And unfortunately, as it is, nobody does a yajna unless there is a Brihaspati or a Brahma who is there prepared to tell the mantras. You can at best put some wooden pieces or pour some ghee or some other material that is asked to be poured into it. You never do yajna. Even the traditional term I am talking. Present day situation, even if you go by the traditional methods that are available, which I know is not the original methods. And on our behalf, the proxy is there. And now and then he will say, Mama, you say Mama, he will say that. You have got to say that. And that's all what you say, nothing more. But you say that he is doing it on my behalf. The proxy. Proxy can be perhaps best compared today with the dupes of cinema. Dupes are. These are the dupes. I play on the word dupe. Cheat. There's another meaning for that also. Here we are asked to do at 9 o'clock in the night a prayer, offer a prayer to God, saying that all the people in this world are my brothers and sisters, and that they are developing true love and devotion to God. If I put this question, how many of you honestly do it? Perhaps you will be more disappointed with the answer than myself. Because I know what is happening. You at least were not aware of what was not happening. So you will be more surprised with the answers. So if you see the methods that are given in our system, these methods are the same as you were. Now, the duty. Duty is a subject that Babaji Maharaj discussed in one article. That duty, he says, Babaji says, is the primary duty is to realize God. What is your duty? To realize God. And what is that realization? That you are an insignificant expression of that most significant being. And what is your task? To live here a life of happiness. Not forgetting your duties to God as well as duties to the world. The world is nothing but an expression of the divine. The divine and its content and expression are entirely different from an academic angle. From a realized angle, both are the same. So I request you to kindly read that article, Duty by Babaji Maharaj, published in the latest issue of Satyavrata. Now I come to the next point of this morning methods. How are we going from the lower state of mind to the upper state of mind and stabilize there? That's the question. Bandhuratma atmanastasya yena atmana atmanajitaha. This is a statement of Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The Atma becomes a bandhu for a person who has controlled his Atma by the Atma. Right. Babaji repeats the same thing when he says, the thought power that is in you has to be utilized
for reaching the ultimate, leaving a life, leaving aside his perverse tendencies of thinking. So that is why I wanted this short piece and poem.
This diagrammatic visualization was given by Babaji Maharaj. The entire thing is the heart. Place where samsaras get formed. Immediately after Lord Krishna, you know what? A person of enormous spiritual greatness, Mahavir, Mahatma Mahavir, okay. And he said, this heart is tainted with different types of colors. And he called it, I don't know what it means, it is pronounced as Pudgala. It is a matter that gets formed over your heart, your soul. And according to the color of this, you can definitely say what is the type of man you are. So the details are written about in Jainism, about the Gurgal books. All the interpretations of Jainism are interesting. You say this is about it. So you know, kindly put. I had the privilege of seeing the Gurgal. Thanks to some person who studied this Jainism and Kandanathan. Show me those words. I saw that the first time I came to there, there is something like that. And you know two words, how this is part of. And he says Samvara and Nirjara. Samvara is accumulation, Nirjara is getting rid of. And this is the same thing as Babaji is saying now, saying that we form samskaras. And it has a shade or a color of that. And we have got it. This is the original shade. Previously, just now I have quoted from the Bhagavad Gita. He uses the word Atma. For both. For the lower as well. They said that it is getting formed and we should get rid of it, and the method given is the first. Get rid of it, go to path, that is positive. Babaji has given us the method, so he is not going to change his method. And he says, with the same task which you get into, yeah. Lord Krishna has said the Atma has to be controlled by God.
So this lower Atma,
or the lower state of mind, has to be conquered with the upper state of mind. And this is the struggle you and I are making during meditation. You know that there is something that is pulling you up. You are also aware that something is pulling you down. Simultaneously, both these things are going on in our mind. And our struggle seems to be a big thing. Devadana is going on. War. The internal war that we are war. This does not so easily yield. This does not so easily yield. Because on this is the entire energy. The principles of life are here. It has to go here. And this is the place where you are going to your karma. And distortions of this at the higher plane are
your moha, dukkha, and ahankara, mastery. Ahankara is more easy than mastery.
The same thing gets diverted, the upper plane, and it plays a joke all the time.
goes to the extreme extent of calling Krishna as a Mohanavamsi. Forget that. What is the extraordinary form of moha if we take it? Converter. Whole of aesthetics is a distortion of the lower karma and prana. This is the reason why you will find in the paintings, in the sculptures, in the sutras, and in the poetry that is there, everywhere in this world, the content of this is only this, basically. The reason for that is only distortion. Inversion. You want to put your other word in Babaji, you say, Swami, what's your make it yield to the divine stoops. Convert this from this level to that. And then we stick to it forever. Because this is much more powerful. You stick to it forever. You don't want to come out of it. Yesterday, message, I don't know how many of you remember, of our message, alleged message. I still don't know where it is. Quoted from. And he talks about love and love. I know I am not in a very, very broad spectrum. Love and beloved.
No, you want to put it? Yeah. Put on. Yes. One more thing.
This is the best method, he says. And it is nothing but your moha that has been converted there. And therefore I question it as a statement of Bhagavad. If at all he must have said it in Abhyasi somewhere. Or while explaining a principle, he must have said somewhere. But our method is one of
divine light. Divine light is there in the heart. It has to come to its perfection. This concept definitely is suffering from this lower. Moha. The distortion of karma.
And this grants you what I may call as duality. The difference.
The duality exists between the disciple and the master, between the devotee and God, between the lover and the beloved. This duality comes. And so long as the duality is there, you are not anywhere near reality. The very purpose of this particular method of meditation that has been given to us is acts at its base in the acceptance. And therefore I say it is not into the Siddhanta started. It is not, the institute is going with a particular approach, the whole subject. I love him. If you ask me today, what is your condition, I will say, yes, I love him. I have devoted to him. The love without much of a moha, yes, still that attachment is there. I retain it as my right to hold it. I know it is samskara that I am having. That is all my wisdom about. And I am prepared to throw it off. As and when it is necessary, I am prepared to throw it off. I will not fight or argue on this subject. Now, what is history here? The history talks about one great saint, Anda, who started this method of worship. Then, when Vaishnavism spread to the north very much, and it became your Radha Krishna culture. Krishna Chaitanya. And what Krishna Chaitanya has done, there are other people to explain about it. This has led us to the worst forms of degradation, of trying to think that all of us are women, irrespective of the fact we are born as men or women. And everyone, unfortunately, as the perverse conclusions always come, have to be clad in saris. And the lesbian thinking has spread into that. And today, ISKCON is suffering from the problem of lesbian. ISKCON is now in court. $750 million or something like that. The case is still pending. Because you are going to have this mess. If you don't accept this type of thinking and have the courage to accept it, you will not be following Sri Ramprasad Thakur. All of us are devotees. Let me not question that.
But whether you are sadhakas or not, and whether you are practicing that method or not, is a different question. If you practice that, you will definitely reach the goal. Don't practice it, you will get.
You put only this much of your good, you get that much. You put in this much of bad, you get that much. You are not going to get.
So, the prayer is very clear in our case. We are asking him, saying that we are at first slaves of wishes. And we don't ask him for remission or some condonation or anything like that in our prayer. Because when the goal is clear, we will not ask for it. What is that goal? That God got the goal. And what is the principle of samavarti? Law. Of. Put in causation if you want. I prefer the traditional word karma. Every karma we have got. If you question that, you are questioning the rationale of existence. The reason behind this universe itself is question. But that's what prayers have done. With infinite wisdom, our people have given prayers to us. But with infinite wisdom, we have also ruined it. To the lowest level of questioning this very person's reality. Real goal is one where we are seeking the samavarti. We are not asking for the remissions. We are asking him to pull us out from this lower vrittis to the upper vrittis. All that we are asking is this much. In Atmana, Atmana Jataha, that man has said, and I have to do it. I am not able to. So the upper person has to control the lower vrittis. How is it to be done? I am incapable of doing it. I am at but a slave of my wishes, putting a bar to my Atmana. I am able to do it. I yield to you. And once this knowledge comes, your head is ready for that step of the vama. Once you don't do it, somehow or other you have to yield. Here comes the intellectual problems. Every one of us thinks that we can solve our problem. Surely, sir, we will ask God. But let him grant, or let him restrict his domain to the principles of spirituality. Let him not enter into my day-to-day business. Let him not enter into my family or matters. Let him not interfere with my other things. Refusing to understand that every gift that you have got, or a capacity you have got, is what he has given. And he knows best as to what to do with that. He only yield to the divine. He knows how to use it. But we'll say that this is a matter that I will sort it out. I don't want to go to the Guru for this. I don't want to go to God for this. But our prayer itself is lifted out of that plane. And he simply says, you please take the full ultimate goal and concede the point that you cannot solve your problem of lifting this. This is the duty. What is your duty? To live up at the divine level. The duty is to live at Hilir here. We are not able to. We are crying before him, I am not able to discharge my towards the divine. This is the duty with which we are all born. We are not able to. Aurobindo. Yes. My father's book on Aurobindo is going to be this. We are thinking, here he calls this our mind. And he says, first, your lower mind has to be controlled, and that is your sadhana. But he also talks about a super mind. And this descent is a must if you are going to have a divine life. Descent. Divine. Super mind has to enter into my heart. Then only I will be in a position. Live up to the life divine. That is the name of the book. Here is the life divine. One of the monumental theories of the modern day. The cry of a soul mind becomes something more. That is the work of the Guru. He knew it has to come. He prayed continuously and felt that it will be in a position to come. But he died without his dreams to be fulfilled. And then it was left to the mother of Deva Aravindo Ashram. He said that 1953. But even as early as 1945, Babaji said, this will not work. Supermind will not. And the solution that has been given by Aravindo will not work. This is a must. And in Aravindani system, this is something that you have to teach. In our system, rather, Babu says, this is not the master. He will be the master. He will be the position of the leader by his power, provided he is the provider. And that is my warning to all my friends. Live there, you will be the position. Don't imagine that you can convert anything. You can always imagine that we are the ultimate. There are many intimate ones. Some of us are outside, some of us are inside. But that's about it. If anybody thinks that he can change somebody else's mind, yes, by not being at that higher level, it's only something that you don't. You don't have the instruments for it. You don't have the capacity for it. Then you can fool yourself, you can fool others. So long as you are fooling yourself, it is the Atmadroha. So long as it is feeling ours by others, it is paradroha, it is much worse. So the mental patient in the hospital is much better because he does not cheat others. But if the trainers and the preceptors of this great system do not live up to that and then try to harm others, it is definitely paradroha, it is a sin. Let us understand the seriousness of the system itself. This you cannot do on your own. You have to work as if the master himself is working. You have to yield to him in totality, in every sense of the term. Then you will be in a position to get into a layavastha. And that layavastha is capable of working on us, not your mind. Somebody else is to be helped, it can be only done that. But that should not be confused to mean that these preceptors don't do anything or the trainers don't do anything. They have to at least lend their head, heart for the betterment of us. And that is a part of the Vidya Dana. At another level. First Dana was something which I put it, I taught earlier. This is the higher thing. The Dana that you have. What you have to give. You have something. When you can, only when you know that you have what you can give. You cannot give something which you don't have. So this has to be done. So the over mind can be reached only by this help. This is one of the first fundamental difference between Aravindo and Babaji. Bringing in the super mind, this is Brahman actually. Brahman first stage is this in our system. This is why. You know, this is the D consciousness. And Babaji calls this as D1 consciousness. D2, D3 are different. Intermediate stages are only intermediate stages to come to this. From this to that, you have to go. And that, he says, is possible only by the influx of the divine. Influx of the divine, that's the thought. And he said that I will bring it out. And then Babaji says, if what you are seeking is a life divine or a transformation of the entire humanity to the higher plane of living in tune with divinity, this will not work and you require the central force. The central itself has to work, center has to work. So the supermind cannot do that, and it's the center that can do that. This is the claim of Revered Babaji Maharaj. I still say it's a claim. I've been practicing this system for quite some time. I still say it's a claim. Because the inner conflict between the yell and you continues with us. The loyal seems to be enormously capable of pulling us down every alternative second. If we can maintain our thought at the higher plane, for example, in the morning meditation, had you been able to maintain your thought on Krishna, on whose birthday we have come, and understood the identity between him and our master, and also identified himself with the several avatars that have come earlier, your reference, small reference to each I have made. I have got a lot of things in my head. This is not the place of the forum, not is it proper. But I find every avatar is a sadhana. You understand it from a different angle. People have expressed it from the point of evolution, a very, very gross way of understanding it. But there is behind it an enormous spirituality behind it. Each one teaches a lesson in spirituality. If you are a real sadhaka, you would have known this quite a lot of things earlier. Because all of these things get revealed to you. And nobody generally feels it in you. Because it's so odd. And it can be questioned on very many pseudo-rational grounds. I call it pseudo-rational grounds. That apart, the center has to come to play. And he says, my whole pranahuti is nothing but this pranasya pranaha coming to you. Either directly through me or through many other people who work for me who have submitted themselves to my will. What is the characteristic of a person who trains is a person who has submitted to the will of the divine and doesn't have a will of his own. If your will is totally that of the divine, then you will naturally work for the others without any concern whether he is related to me, whether he belongs to my jati or my kula or my race or nationality or sex. You will not bother about it. But that we continue to suffer from those lapses is a fact that you have to accept in your sadhana. Then only you will overcome that. Unless you know the problem, the situation will not happen. You will not take undue interest in any person. And Babaji always puts it, due interest, due discharge of duties do not form samskaras. Coming back to samskaras. Your duties you shall do, but with due attachment, not with undue attachment. Undue attachment comes to you because of various social factors, apart from your own personal factors. That is the significance of the word, second line of the prayer, you don't find it here. I am it, but slave of wishes. He has never used the word my wishes. It is the traditional notion of sadhana that it is something that is individual that makes you think it is your wishes alone that is being addressed to. No. Your samskaras are getting formed mainly because of other people's wishes on you. Your wife wants something, your son wants something, your daughter wants something, your father wants something, your brother-in-law wants something. All those things are taken into your heart and they form the samskaras. Please kindly note the significance of the omission of that word, my. We are yet but slaves of wishes, not our wishes. All wishes in this world are ours. Because every one of them is casting an impression on you. Whether it is a Bill Clinton there or Musharraf here, he is getting into your heart. So long as you get attached to it. You want to see such attached people, kindly go to Mylapur Madras. You will find all of them discussing this from morning to evening on all these issues. Whatever is there in the paper, they will take it as something that is to be commented upon. And they will comment for hours and hours and hours together till they get hungry. And at 1 o'clock they go. This is the post-retirement interest of the residents. That's what here also happens in many clubs. And their form samskaras is something that they don't understand. They have formed a paint unnecessarily on their heart. I don't say you should not be interested in a worldly matter. If you find something wrong somewhere, kindly pray to God. That is the due interest. Talking about the correctness or the incorrectness of the decision of some people that are in power is only wasting of time. And the farming, that can be some kind. Wasting of time is okay. The second thing is much worse. So apart from cleaning yourself, you have to clean somebody else's dirt on you. It is just like when you walk on the road and the bus goes, splashes water on you. It is not your dirt. Somebody else was chosen to throw it on you. Knowingly or unknowingly, you can't fight for the Clinton, for you are thinking too much about these decisions. He said something, that is his samskara. We want to bother about it. And we take it to our heart, taint it, bring it to such a hopeless condition that we go out to get into misery. We don't get sleep also problem. Thinking about a problem about which you can do nothing. For example, there is one problem now at present facing the government of Andhra Pradesh, namely there is power. What is it you can or I can do about it? We can only pray to God that wisdom may dawn on all the people. And what is that wisdom? By definition, it is not something that you know. Please note it. What you think as wisdom is your opinion about that. It is not wisdom. Wisdom is something that is divine. It will give its own solutions. It will come at the appropriate time. Isn't it? It's in a hurry. We are in a hurry to hatch the egg. You can't do that. It takes its own time. Everything has got its own time. And that is what Babuji meant a few days back when he said, time has got all the power, but you cannot use it. You know that. You know it is the thing, but you cannot use it. It is not in your hand to use it. It is only the God who can use the Kalachakra. It is that power that the Supreme Personality is wielding, he said. Sudarshan Chakra is what Krishna used, and I am using Kalachakra, he said. What is that, sir? Question itself is irresponsible. You are trying to know what you by definition are denying us. Right? This is what I call itch of the brain. Now and then you have got an itch. And then to get rid of the itch, either you take an Advil tablet or something else, or otherwise you sit in prayer and then clean yourself. Do whatever you want. Why I suggested Advil tablet is not that I use it. It makes you sleep, I have told you. So at least the mind may become less active and less active. I don't know what it is. Doctors are there better to. So you will see in this that Ramchandraji who perfects an Aurobindo system. It is the cry for the human unity. The first time that you use his word, you must use this lit to Aurobindo one. Human unity. This he coined somewhere in 1918. Those of you who do not know that Aurobindo was a person who was blessed by Krishna and was asked by Krishna himself to get out of the freedom movement. Can't you remember that? He had the blessings of the great master. He was in the jail. He had the darshan of Krishna who says to him, please kindly leave the place. Go somewhere else. Do your yoga. You've got some other work to do. And somebody else will come behind. And then there's a boon asked saying, please grant freedom to this country or independence to this country on my birthday, and which he was blessed. And 15th of August was his birthday, 15th of August, independence, which you are still striving to hold on. That is what it is. Now you will find here the promise of Aurobindo, namely that the divine life, the life divine will find expression here. With the influx of the supermind. Babuji modifies to say, no, it is through Pranabhuti we have got to bring this, and it is the center that we have to leave, and then beyond this D1 there is another consciousness of D2 that is coming up, that also can be utilized for this purpose. Beyond that, none of it is in power. But Abhyas is always clamor about D3 consciousness, the D4 consciousness, and I don't find anything wrong about them. Because that is greed in spirituality in expression. Greed is something that's a common disease. The entire humanity suffers from that. And we have unfortunately confined it to monetary things. It is there in the spirituality also. Without first of all entering into the overmind, we always think in terms of supermind. Without entering into the supermind, we think as a divine mind. And without entering into the divine mind and yielding to it bodily, not lifting your head, you are talking about the genius of splendor. As a person who has gone through this, every one of these things is a headache. You don't move. If you ask me how much of the power mind you have got, I perhaps say that means it's the lowest. Because the more greater you advance, the dirt that you see is so much in you, it gets magnified. The smallest specks. That is the reason why most of you must have felt I overreacted to certain things. The reason for that is the magnification of a small defect. I know it's a small defect, but I magnify it. I can't help magnifying, that is the purity of my consciousness here that condemns me to that such a magnification. I call it a condemnation. It is condemned. This is a spiritual truth which you will understand more if you read truth better. Naraj Maharaj says this. As man advances, you will see the smallest defect anywhere in this world as the greatest obstacle to spirituality, which other people may kindly ignore. But here, you won't ignore. You are asking, because in the perfection that you are asking, the purity you are asking, are seeking for, that's not complicated. So if you talk about the methods, these are the methods. To talk about the methods from the point of view of one morning meditation, evening reading, night prayer, and then another prayer, and then say that this is all about methods, you see, it's a very, very superficial application. Maybe for the introduction course it's okay. But as you advance, you should understand what are the methods and what are the attitudes. You have to have proper attitudes to follow. I know many abhyasis come exactly at my house, of course, Satsang is at 8 o'clock. They come at 5, 7, 59. Come. Some, of course, say their watches go slow and they come at 8:15. Some choose to come at 8:55 also. That particular position is not there now, at present it is not there. They don't understand that by coming late, they are disturbing others. They have got, from their point of view, the peculiar right to divinity superseding the interest of others. Their right for divinity. I have been pleading that people who want to meditate, get prepared in your state of mind. Earlier, come there in advance, sit quiet for some time, be in that meditative mood, yield to the master, sink that prayer into your heart, and then meditate when you are asked to meditate. No, you don't. The excuses are, the bus was not in time, the taxi did not bring us, I waited for the taxi, my car driver disappeared. You choose a solicitor over here. So these are the issues. I thought I will make it to the time, sir. You all know my personal approach to the Britishers. This is one portion of my lawyer mind which I have not been able to conquer. I hate them to the core. I consider they are the worst scum of earth. They were born. And cursed by God. This is what I personally, that is my opinion about them. I have got various enormous history, historical versions of what they think. But still, I have got one good point for them. My grandfather worked for the police department under the Britishers. Those days, the power in the district was the district collector himself. There is a movement of police or anything, he has to go and report. It remains in paper today. Nobody reports to the collector in that way. He was asked to come. This man, Jerry, you come at 4 o'clock in the evening. And this man started. I don't know what made him choose, because he had three modes of transport. One is his horse, another is a car, and third one is a cycle. Somehow he chose the bicycle on that. He was an Anandapur district. Even today it's hopeless. Then, then think about 1930s or 1920s when you worked there in that district. You must understand what could be this road. So the cycle burst. So one of the two, so he got it, punctured the back and then went there. And he was late by about 3 minutes or so. Just 3 minutes. And then the collector, whose name if I remember right, that Kirsten, was already in the lawns. And he was waiting for his tea. And when Krishnamacharya entered, hello Krishnamacharya, come here. And he was just talking gossip of the house of Krishnamacharya. He would be social transactions. And then my grandfather must have been upset and then said, why have been called to hear all this? And he said, the collector has called me to come. Yes, yes, it was at 4 o'clock, it's over. So at the end of the day, he still had, they had that tea and all. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock you come positively without any excuses. Right.
So yes, about 3 minutes delay.
And surprisingly, I recently met one person in the United States who belongs to New Jersey, just to come to Virginia. He promised that he would come at such and such time to have his interview series. He wanted an introduction. And the moment he entered his house, he was already late. He asked my son, "Do you know that he is a stickler to timing and punctuality? Do you think I can go see him, or should I ask for some other appointment?" And he was a Frenchman. So this is one point where I find that the British seems to have taught us some discipline, which we have deliberately killed, retaining other things which we could have easily got rid of. We could have left several other things that the British have given us. But what we chose to give is what is wise. What we chose to retain is unwise. The lawyer probity is demanding the inclusion of the lawyer of this type of indiscipline in your mind and does not accept discipline. And a person who is not disciplined is least fit to be called a disciple. That's how it happens. Methods are like that. And when he says that before sunrise, some person say, puts me a question, sir, why not I do it later? You can do it. Choose to. Sometimes you do it. But then that's the commandment. If you understand it's a commandment, you will follow the commandment. If you take it as one more sentence from a master, as any other textbook teaches us, Buddha thought so, Jaina thought so, Krishna thought so, all of them have been quoted. So Babaji taught this. Therefore, this also can be quoted because the same rule. The same rule is applied. Please note it how your mind is dictating terms to you. Your goal is not clear. And that yielding to the master, which is third step, is the most important thing in obedience. If you don't know how to obey, I don't think you can surrender to him. If you don't surrender to him, you will not be in a position to transform yourself. And to assist that is the whole process of pranayama. Take the assistance of another person. And he says, I have put in the first page itself, Machitta Madhyata Pranaha Bodhayanti Paraspara. The question is, have you put your mind on his consciousness? Machitta, that's what word. The word is chitta, consciousness. It is not Babaji's photo, it is not Babaji's personality. This is chitta that is asking. Again, this sentence he belongs to Krishna one. Who says Vasudeva Sarvamiti, he said in the beginning, but then he puts it later, in the next chapter only this comes. This is a stage high enough. We know that Babaji is spread out everywhere, but then have you gotten this consciousness? Have you got? And he uses the word pranaha. He doesn't use the word jivaha or atma. Please note, Sanskrit word is simple. Because that is the only place where you and I can join. Prana is the only place where you and I have coherence. You cannot have otherwise. At the other levels, Vasudeva, you will not be opposed. This is the only place where you can have unity with the divine. Unity with all here. Unity with the divine in manifestation. And unity with the divine in its base aspect. This is only the prana which can be given. And that what that prana is, that is thought power, has been explained during the day also. But what I ask is, some of these things I told mainly because I knew some of these concepts were not clear in your head. It is necessary that you should clarify for yourself and do your sadhana in the way in which it has been prescribed. And a tapaha is a must, that is the first thing. And that is what the last thing that we do. Cleaning process is tapa. The putgala matter can be burnt by austerity. And he says no austerity is required further than this. And you know it is the toughest of austerity that is asked for you. It is easy for you to sit before a havan and then do the things and get out. It is easy. You are handling something else. Here you have to handle your heart, which has unfortunately got tainted by volition or by compulsion. By your own choice or somebody else's thrusting it on you. And because of this particular samvara that is happening, it is absolute must that you should move with only people who are attached to the divine.
I don't say that your office, you forget about other things and then the divine work. That's the last thing that I will ask. But you must know the company that you keep. And you must also know whether it is necessary for you to have the extended hours of work for the sake of few rupees or few dollars or few pounds. That is the basic viveka you should have. Two things you ought to know. One thing is you cannot be running out of money, number one. Too much. You require it. Number two, you should maintain the satsang. And satsang is best defined by Lala Ji Maharaj by saying to be in the company of God. So sit down. You don't have others to participate, it doesn't matter much. And many of our people will say, sir, I will have a satsang, sir. Hey, what is the wrong about it? You are there, divine is there. Satsang is there. Will you require that person? It is always that number that matters for you. And you know that is not true. You definitely know that it's not. And one more thing that I want you to understand, one of the words, yesterday I was talking to Subbarao about this. The thing is that Babuji wants lions. God wants lions. And they alone can live up to this. And please note that pride is few in number. The herd of sheep you can think of. And a swarm of locusts you can think of. And a swarm of lions and a herd of lions are not heard of. But divinity is asking for that. Divinity is asking for that. It is asking for her. It wants a swarm of lives. But we know the demand is something that is very, very great for us even to think of. Conceptualize that position, you are in trouble. You don't know how to conceptualize. You don't have an example of that. For the entire forest, there is only one life. The fight of gurus can be understood from the land. That he does not want somebody to interfere in his area. But please also note that it is not exactly the quality of lion, not to allow others, but it is the quality of dog. Rama Simha has got that quality, not the Simha. The Simha can be transformed. And that is what the divine is asking. I hope you understand my sarcasm behind it. Please catch my point. It is the lowest of minds we think in those lines. The higher mind accommodates all. Lines need not roar at each other. And the story of Mithilava horse. Or need not. They can accommodate. And only when their heart, where the U is predominant and the L is less, this is possible. Vidvat Sabha is not all that true. Vidvat Sabha has finally ended up to be criticizing each other. That's what we do. I don't know whether you are addressed yet, whether you are aware of Vidvat Sabha, number one. Number two, whether you attended that, I do not know. If you attend, you will find the same thing. One trying to score a point over the other, all the time. They don't have the greatness to conceive the point of view of the other person. There's a false prestige going on. That has to be. We can't evaluate ourselves as if we're always right. Come to mathematics, you know that life needs assembly, that all the points of view are equally right. Have the tolerance. The tolerance is what makes you comfortable. Go down, you'll fight. Conflict. Comparisons lead to conflict. You compare yourself as better than somebody else, then the conflict starts. Comparison is the basis of conflict. That's a Sufi story. Some gentleman went, going, he's a big man, some part of the king. So he says, wherever else I went, I felt that I was superior. The moment I entered your house, I felt that I'm the most inferior fellow. I don't understand why. Can you answer? Then he said, wait till the evening. When all people have gone, he said, now I'll tell you. Let us go out. He went out. And then he showed, you see this tree? The big tree. Next there's a small tree. And they're able to live together.
they don't compare. So you will also be at ease with me, but you don't compare. Because you have compared yourself with me, you have got into this problem. Get out of this. Conflict arises out of this lesson I learned from Sufi story, long back. So know that there are many masters who teach us. And those masters do not come to you just because you are interested in book. Please note it, that also. They come to you because of the blessings of your master. Without your guru kripa, you will not have any knowledge about other gurus. And that is one thing that you must understand as a biography of Babaji, who says that all other people have come and blessed us. The point you are trying to make is, because of my master, I have the blessings of all. But here, we say your master is wrong and my master is right. You get into a conflict. Master is only one, and that is God. No other person has got that right. And this is what in Bhagavad Gita you will find God telling. Please note that there is one person inside your heart. 61st or 62nd stanza of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, you find it. There is one. Know that he knows everything. Know that he is your best friend. Know that he is your guide. All that you have to follow to do is fall at his feet. Heal. Arjuna was not convinced. He had his own doubts. Immediately next day he says, I am here, fall at my feet. That's what he said. Next, within the four stanzas he will say, he will change the subject and from divinity he will come to himself. And then he will say, fall at me. Such an opportunity here also we have got. He is another great person who has come. It doesn't mean that those who have not seen him will not understand that, because just as Gita was valid till that time, he came, he is valid today. It is the same statement, because both of them are one. And Krishna says, I am using you. And our people say that he is merging you. No, please note it, it is the other way around. Because he grants this avatar a superiority to that of the special personality. Carefully read this. The special personality is there, brought by nature, to mend, he is some sort of mechanic. To use his language, what is that language, sir? Bitter management, huh?
Mid-course correction.
Yes, this is mid-course correction. He has been utilized. That Sri Ramachandra Ji Maharaj of Shah Jahanpuri is utilized by nature, where it has already entrusted the work in avatar to interfere. Here is a mechanic sent to mend, rectify. Note the positions very clearly. Don't unnecessarily insult any person. Because it can harm you. A negative thought towards such a personality as Krishna can harm. But I know people talk. I am helpless. But I have been telling that all the time these two differentiate. Because we are sticking to the body form, which we think somehow we know, the special personality whom we know is to be Sri Ramachandra Ji Maharaj. We know. We think we know him to be that. But he is not that, he said it. I am not that body. I am not the person. Most of you who come here do not see me and then go. But he has made that statement. In spite of it, we think that we know him. Because we know his beard, we know his pulse, we know what are the diseases he had, we know what are his habits he had. And once we go to get into this, you are bound to come across a state of stotra patra very soon. And Mohana Vamsi, instead of that, you will have Yavamsi, Mohana, Pukka, you will have. Every person in this world can have. Whatever idea he has got about him. And this has already started. People, Babaji himself makes a joke of it. And then, one of the sisters of ours, who has been close with him in the beginning, had the knack of taking away the shirt that he has been wearing with the idea that I have got a new shirt for you, master, you have it. So, new shirt is taken, the old shirt is taken back. For what? Vastra. Right? Vastra. Right? We have got already 5 kosas. We are adding somebody else's kosas also. When somebody says, you give me a shirt or pant, I always love it. I have got already 5. Why are you giving me one more?
somehow we ask, we are happy with one more vastra, vastra dhanam, right? I don't know, they do. So that person started this, and later on somebody else found this is not enough, and then he started taking his chapels, and that prerogative goes to the Andhra. They do happen. That is, the special personality and his greatness has been restricted to the vastra that he has been with, the war or the chapel that he has. And here you have got the paduka concept, right? Paduka. Worship. Bhartam Jeshara Gasa, and you don't argue with afterwards. What arguments have you got? These are all the people who had eyewitnesses for Bharata having taken it to their hand. That's what they talk. Okay. Here we should know, we are talking about a personality who is not confined to his body. Not to the mind that we know. The little mind of his is what you know from his letters, from his books. Only one portion of it. And he himself said, what I do in other planes of consciousness, what I am doing is not supposed to be revealed to you, I will not reveal it. He said it in so many words. Still, by going to his chair, going to his house, no, don't think that I don't do such things. Please note, I do go. But I do go with an idea that I should not go. I want to get out of that habit, that attachment. And the best way to kill an attachment is to yield to it first. By sublimation, principle of sublimation, not go. There is no alternative. So go, satisfy yourself, and then once for all you get out of it. You don't go, that which continues to be in your head and haunts you every day. So which is a better proposition? You should know what is the purpose of your visit. You have sentiments, no attachments. But what is the attachment that you are asked to have? With the personality, with his consciousness, to be one with him. Now, this led me to one more question of one and oneness. The goal, unfortunately, has been misread as one. No, we can have oneness with him. And I try to explain this to a person who is supposed to know mathematics. With the concept of equal and identically equal to. And he said, I don't know the difference. I said, God gave you, go on for that. Because I read this in my 9th class or 10th class. How do I remember this today? How to explain it to you? I can only remember fundamentals. The details you have to go to a mathematics professor to ask. He will tell what it is. Or perhaps your school teacher will answer. This is out of question with God. Identically equal to, no, out of question. Equal to, yes. Oneness you can have. And three things are out of your purview. Creation, sustenance, and destruction are not your jobs. Under no circumstance any soul has got a claim over this. And any person who claims that he creates something and thereby shows his other world that he is capable of performing certain miracles, he is only a dupe. That if any person who knows these fundamentals of spirituality cannot follow. But why do you go there? You go there to get rid of some disease, marriage for somebody, or perhaps divorce of somebody else. I don't know. Because man's mind has come to that level. You do not know why people go. On another occasion I told you, there are two daughters of a Sufi saint who prayed exactly opposite things to be granted by God. And then the Sufi saint was confused and left. Somebody wanted rain, somebody did not want rain. And it should happen the same day. How is it possible? So this is the old story. You can't do that. So this is what is possible. So first of all, this body. And a few days back, one of the persons was asking me about this living master, the need for it. My answer to this is, a master is either living or not there. Only when you confine our existence to the physical, refusing to understand that there is something a vital, mental and aspirational levels, then there is a bliss level. I think I'll have to take some more time to clear up some of the points. We bother about the physical. Living, unfortunately, is confined to the existence in a body. But even in body, you know that your vital is something that goes beyond the physical. Even in the body, you know your mental is something that is going far beyond the physical. And when you go to the aspiration level, the physical things are not. And the master has to be at the bliss level, if he has to be master of all. To say that this is the level at which you are going to find the master, who is in a state of bliss, is unfortunately condemning him to the karma level. That is the sensory levels, to which a man is, you are condemning your guru to that level by saying that he should be having the religious body. But your master is one who will be a master at all levels. During existence here, during start stay here, he will be at this plane, and during this plane itself he will clear the three, and then he will draw the three. And that is the consciousness of Priyamsavada which you can think of. Anything less than that cannot be that as a master. So the living master is an unfortunate fixation to the body, a body which by definition is something that will fall. Seriously, it is arena, going to fall. You cannot go beyond. But then people still not do it. And that shows their level. It does not show the level of the master, it shows their level of approach. And in order to make this physical permanent, you have got idols. Idols come from the need for your permanence for the physical body, which you cannot satisfy at the physical level at the level at which it is, and therefore you convert it into an idol. An idol which will not be true to the original. Because I have got today people who ask people to do mantra on Saraswati idol. I don't know, read it. And somebody else suggested that you do it in Gayatri idol also. But also you do it. There are people. My mantra as an idol. You immediately jump to the conclusion. There is also something that you got it out. You don't understand that there is a Lalaji Maharaj who has given this meaning for us. And he said that this is the primary sound. And it is true, it is at the sound level and therefore an idol, but for that very reason you cannot throw it off, because that is the only way for the Upasana. And it goes to the extent of saying this, Naga Upasana is linked with this. And if Naga Upasana you want to understand, and I request you to avoid something rather than do something, avoid Yasmi Bhaskaruna. Because he thinks he is a Brahmajnani or Naga Upasana by himself, equal to one Tyagaya or somebody else. Whose credibility itself is under question. So he will say, those of you who had the unfortunate privilege of seeing, I call it a fortunate, unfortunate, of seeing a TV in your house. Because it is a privilege gifted to you by your sons and grandsons. It's an unfortunate privilege given to us. You see, now and then you will see this pack of a fellow passing all sorts of things. And so, facts have entered into your field, generally left till recently to the people who know. Now everybody thinks he knows. You understand? Why these idols? We know that we are not after idols. We are very clear about it. But do not, simply because it is something that is called an idol, don't throw it off. I have its own value. Understand that humility is a must, which you can get only when you are here. Because you compare, you think somebody else is less. Because you think that you have been granted with the wisdom of knowing the real path, you think somebody else is not knowing it. You don't understand that God is a Samavarti, and you should pray that person also should come to you. That is a yajna that you have to do. Instead of finding fault with you. If you see blemish in others, try to remove it. I know it is impossible because you have got all the prejudices. Enormous prejudices about whom you make judgments.
That does not mean judgment over others.
It is the worst sin from my point of view. Because the other person about whom you are making a judgment is equally an expression of the divine and has got a purpose to serve, a purpose which you may not understand. You may not understand that purpose, but what is the necessity that you should understand? If you understand yourself, it is enough. That of course goes to the other extreme of trying to worship Brahmana or worshiping a Socrates.
You do that.
Because you said, no, there are two people who have finished. Two great things. One in the east and one in the west.
So what?
He doesn't become worshipable. At best he is only trying to tell you a part of Sara. No, you also before you talk about it, somebody else. But then without doing it, we think we can do. All that you have been asked to do is only try and tell his system. No. In the process, we seem to be condemning others. So the very people whom you have got to teach. You refuse the opportunity given by the divine by condemning others. That's my approach. You refuse the opportunity given by the divine. You are no more wise. Don't condemn others. Now this comes to this concept. I have been asking people. I have been asking them to explain to me this small thing. What is bliss? So this problem comes mainly because in the cleaning method of God, O Master, the word you wash now. What is the bliss you have? Have you got any idea about it? Bliss is at several levels. Which level you are thinking of? The Gayatri Upanishad, O God, Annam Brahmet Vijayanath starts and then it finally ends with Brahma. All the five levels of this. And all the five levels you have got this. The truth eternal Lala Jesus says the same thing again. Satchit Ananda, when he says the Ananda talks about the Ananda concept, it is in all the five levels. But what is this concept of bliss that you have got while doing your cleaning? Because this point becomes relevant to me. Because you people say, I attend the cleaning, sir, but nothing has happened. But have you done that? Now, this bliss is something that we have got to understand very clearly. I cannot say what it is, but I can say it from a negative angle. It is not anything that you know of. But is it your idea you have got? When we practice that cleaning process, we say that it is ananda. So you get into a state of what you call meditation, obviously. Obviously. Because if you are having ananda at the level of your jihwa, taste, and the level of annamaya portion, then that alone you will have. And as my son, to whom I put this question, he gets that across the phone. And I said, how do you explain to the interesting course? How do you explain ananda? And I said, very easy. And I said, how? Only thing is, I asked him to take some chakra pongal and bhajana. Ask him to be in a state of this. The prakasa. I like this prakasa from the other side also. It is not my prerogative. Somebody else also can have. So that is it, that seems to be a level. A few people are happy. And people who generally get into the state which they call of absorption during the days of our celebration. I have got my own doubt. But what is the absorption level? Is it the food that is being that has been taken, getting digested and absorbed, or there is something else? My experience with ourselves and with myself does not permit me to think it's always at the higher level. Let me be honest about it. And you be honest about it and then you become better thought. So in the evening meditation, when you think that he is a ocean of bliss, actually you will get the ground. That is the question of further thing. But if you negatively said as something that you do not know, just as the real goal of human life, the real goal of human life has been changed now to the ocean of bliss. Because you are passed through all the courses. You will anyway go through that, if you accept that word. Then you will have a better idea and you know that the death and disease you have got will be got to you. You are not able to get it as it means. The concept is not clear in your head. So this is all about my clarification on the methods. This is the reason why I said in evening cleaning, please adopt the first. As Mr. Watson would have it, I was telling somebody else, the private conversation, one of the other, that I practice the method of this place. And he thought it fit that he could tell all of you. So much so, one of our sisters asked me in a meeting, sir, we have been practicing the first method, now you just said the third method, which one is to follow? Follow what you are following. Then you will not follow what I say in you. And this method is not that easy. You want to go to the bliss concept, not that easy concept. It requires an enormous amount of viveka to understand what it is. And if you are getting into a state of absorption, then you don't know why you are getting into a state of absorption and not him. If you maintain that, then you will be able to get that. Medicine that you are thinking of is something that you should be aware of. And aware of the connection, I will get, with this I think I will stop. One incident reported by a master. And he came to Tirupati, he was not well. And then one person, Dr. Kupchami, he was not there in Abhiyati, he was asked to come. And then he was asked to give him some medicine. And he gave him some medicine saying that he will get free. And also relief from this state. And next day morning he came and asked him, what exactly has happened? And he said, this is an extreme, not really from the chest. Because even when you took the medicine, you are always observing as to what exactly it is doing. And he said, the medicine you have given to me has not worked on the chest, but has worked on the head. He clarified that. If you read those tests, you can do it. Why I am telling you this, even when you are under treatment, you should know what is happening to you. That is vivekam. And that is why I said in another place for discussing about samadhi, that to be aware of the divine in the state of absorption is sabra. You forget it in your life. And that is what is happening to you in the evening. Because you have got in the start of ananda. Ananda of the lower level. Ananda of the anamaya kosha. Many are absolutely. And if I know people who come from office, they have a bath, fresh food, then immediately they have also a heavy chicken. That puts them into the ananda state, anamaya ananda. They think the cleaning is, they got into meditation. The fact is that you unnecessarily taken two masala dosa or three puri. That you don't remember. You load your food in your stomach, and then you say that you are in the state of ananda. You see the vision. Meditation. So these are the two thoughts that I had about the meditation method to share with you. It has given you some understanding and grateful to my master. And thankful to you for your patience. Thank you.